The family wishes to sing a few songs before we start, and this is singing for everyone to join in. So everyone's invited to turn your songbooks to 410. This will be the first song. 410. We'll sing the first and last verse.
He leadeth me, O blessed Father.
Amazing Grace, 129, the first and fourth verse. I invite you to stand as we sing the first and fourth song.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody for coming this morning to honor the memory of our mother. And we thank you for all of your expressions of love and of kindness and for being with us this morning. Elaine Walker died September 29, 2008, at the age of 84 years. She was born February 4, 1924, during a blizzard on the plains of Kit Carson, Colorado. Elaine graduated from high school in Pueblo, Colorado, and she then finished 3 years of home economics at Abilene Christian College, where she met her husband of 64 years, Richard Walker. After several dates, Richard invited her to his A Club banquet. Elaine wore a royal blue formal decorated with the red rose corsage Richard sent her. She looked so pretty. She looked so pretty that Richard decided that night that he wanted to marry her. And they were married September 10th, 1944, in Pueblo. Elaine and her husband moved to war-torn Germany as missionaries in 1949. And they spent a total of 30 years on the mission field in Austria and Norway as well. Elaine developed a princess class for girls and a soldier's class for boys that have been used around the world. Even in her last days, Elaine was handing out her favorite Bible reading schedule and tracts to doctors and nurses. Elaine mentored many young women through the years. She was a member of the Sunset Church of Christ here in Lubbock. Elaine is survived by her husband Richard, her brother Gene and Helen Hines, her 5 children, Cheryl and Tom Black, Gary and Kathy Walker, Archie and Susan Walker, Winnie and Gary Worley, and Harold Walker. All of them have been involved in mission work. She had 12 grandchildren, Tommy, who preceded her in death, Elaine, Heidi, Joel, Ben, Micah, Andy, Lisa, Aaron, Hannah, Abel, and Samuel. She had 6 great-grandchildren, Aaron, Hannah, Elliot, Isaac, Edison, and Evelyn. Her funeral service will be on October 2nd at 11 a.m. at the Sunset Church of Christ with interment at Rest Haven. The services will be performed by her family and friends. Well, my brother Gary promised no sermon today, and I was thinking of what to say today, and I came up with some scriptures. My mother loved the Bible probably more than anything else, and I could preach a whole sermon about this topic, but I won't. And I thought of how much the Apostle Paul had in common with my mother, and that may sound strange to you, but let me just read a couple scriptures to make my point. If there is one verse that perhaps best describes how my mother lived her life, it's this one. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17, where the Apostle Paul instructs the church there at Thessalonica to do these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I'm reading from the easy-to-read version. Always be full of joy. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, always be thankful. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. Mother understood, as Paul did, that only when we are weak can everything be done by God's power. So even though her body was weak for many years, she was very strong. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to bring out that point. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Only when you are weak can everything be done completely by my power. And so I will gladly boast about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can stay in me. Yes, I'm glad to have weaknesses if they are for Christ. I'm glad to be insulted and have hard times. I'm glad when I am persecuted and have problems, because it is when I am weak that I am really strong. My mother was also good enough, through the power that Christ gave her, to spread the knowledge of God as a sweet-smelling perfume. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in victory through Christ. God uses us to spread his knowledge everywhere like a sweet-smelling perfume. Our offering to God is to be the perfume of Christ that goes out to those who are being saved and to those who are being lost. To those who are being lost, this perfume smells like death, and it brings them death. But to those who are being saved, it has the sweet smell of life, and it brings them life. So who is good enough to do this work? I found a passage in Acts 28 that reminded me so much of my mother in her last days. Acts 28, 30 through 31. The Apostle Paul was confined to his own home for at least 2 years, it says there. And my mother, failing health, was confined for at least a year to her own home and perhaps longer. And look at what it says there about the Apostle Paul, and I feel like my mother did the same thing. Acts 28. Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented house. He welcomed all the people who came and visited him. He told them about God's kingdom and taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very bold, and no one tried to stop him from speaking. And the next to the last scripture is found back in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4 this time. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 16. And the thought that I had here was that it's such a comfort to know that as my mother's body grew weaker, the spirit inside of her was made new every day. And I want to encourage everyone here to think more about the things that we cannot see on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. That is why we never give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles for a while now, but these troubles are helping us gain an eternal glory. That eternal glory is much greater than our troubles. And so we think about what we cannot see, not what we see. And what we see lasts only for a short time, and what we cannot see lasts forever. I want to read one final scripture, a praise to God, and this comes from the book of Psalms. 63, 1 through 8. Psalm 63, 1 through 8, as I close my thoughts this morning. God, you are my God. I'm searching so hard to find you. Body and soul, I thirst for you in this dry and weary land without water. Yes, I have seen you in your temple. I have seen your strength and glory. Your faithful love is better than life. And so my lips praise you. By my life, I will praise you. In your name, I lift my hands in prayer. When I sit down to satisfy my hunger, my joyful lips hunger to praise you. I remember you while lying on my bed. I think about you in the middle of the night. And that is because you are the one who helps me. It makes me happy to be under your protection. I stay close to you, and you hold me with your powerful arm.
In just a moment, we'll be having a prayer. But before we do, I want to make a comment or two about my experience with Elaine. For many years, she attended with us in the Spanish Bible class up on the second floor of this building, where she accompanied her husband, Richard, as we worked at learning more about the Spanish language. She was enthusiastic about doing that because she always wanted to lay hold on any skill that she felt would help her to reach out yet to one more person who needed the gospel. And as she said in that class, at first she had a lot of trouble with the Spanish language. It was difficult for her to pronounce some of the words. And it took a long time for her to grasp some of it. But she was so persistent and so dedicated that she surprised us with her skills over the period of time that we were together in the class. I also remember her in connection with the efforts made by Richard and Elaine as we cooperated with them to have studies in their home, to attend a study with a person with whom Richard had contact, who was from a Spanish-speaking background, and everything. She just wanted so much for others to learn the gospel. And that's such a good example for us. And I hope that each one will learn from the efforts that she made. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the love that Elaine showed for each one of us. We thank you, Father, that despite the fact that there were many, many people involved with whom she was involved in her life, she made each one feel special. Father, we thank you for her example. We thank you for her love for your word and the way that she taught it to others. Father, we pray that we may honor her memory by looking toward your Son, the one that she served, and the one that she loved. Help us, Father, to follow her example into a closer relationship with you and a greater desire and effort to reach others. We pray, Father, at this time for the family, for the friends, and for all those that, having felt her love, grieve because of the loss. We pray that you would help us in the days to come, and especially Richard and the other family members, that they may be consoled by your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My mother was truly a unique and lovely person. It's a time of sadness for us, but it's also a time of joy for us because she lived for this moment. And we're thankful that we're surrounded by people who loved her and who love us today. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuous, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. As my brother Archie said, we decided not to add another sermon today. This dear sister has heard a lot of sermons in her life, and we've heard a lot of sermons, but her life is a sermon. And we're going to let some of her children and relatives rise up and call her blessed. This is really an easy funeral to conduct. I truly don't know anybody who doesn't like my mother. And if you do, come on down. I want to meet you. And you're probably in the wrong on that one. Everybody loved this dear lady. The songs this morning are being led by Kenneth Combs, and he's Heidi, her granddaughter's husband. My brother Archie read the obituary, and Steve McDonald, a dear friend of the family, led our opening prayer. And in just a moment, James, one of her nephews, is going to say a word. Ben, my son and her grandson. Then John, another nephew. Joel, her grandson and my son. And Jean, her brother, wants to say something briefly. And then Paul, her nephew. And then I'll have some closing comments. So, Brother James.
In the Bible, there are so many wonderful scriptures. And sometimes we're fortunate to see these scriptures lived out in people we love and respect, and in my case, know as an aunt. And Elaine was a teacher. She loved children, and she loved Jesus, and she loved to teach children about Jesus. When I was 9 years old, we were in Berlin, and our family was visiting Uncle Richard and Aunt Elaine's family there. And it was a cold winter, but she was teaching. And to show you how important it is to teach the children, at 9 years old, I, of course, didn't realize my loss that what she was teaching me was in the Bible. But at 9 years old, I heard something that stuck on the wall of my mind, and I've never forgotten it. And to this day, I can see her saying those four words. And these words come out of James 4:15. If it is the Lord's will, you will do something. She would say, if it is the Lord's will. And that is four simple words out of the Bible, but for all these years, that is stuck on my heart. And I just love Elaine and Uncle Richard for the teaching that they've done around the world and in the hearts of children. And what a reward, what a beautiful thing to realize later that those words came from the Bible, you see, how it all works. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Grandma was a great encourager and lover of life. And all of us here were in some way influenced by her life. I'd like to share a few excerpts of some of the letters that she wrote me over the years, which will give you an example of how she encouraged me as well as many of our family. 1995, she wrote, "Your mom did a good job delivering us to the airport. We've been cruising along at 19,000 feet, but are descending now as we approach Dallas. When I was packing, I ran across a quote from Teddy Roosevelt and I thought you might appreciate it, which says, the worst of all fears is the fear of living. And I think his daughter said that to him, life was a great adventure. He wanted to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. She also wrote at some point, gave me some scriptures to encourage me. The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him, Proverbs 20, verse 7. Another verse is, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father, Proverbs 17, 6. You are part of our crown. Love, Grandma. 1998, she told me about a lunch meeting that she had with one of her girlfriends over at her house. And her friend came over and she said, had lunch with me. We spent most of the day discussing spiritual things and praying. It was a very joyful experience. And my soul felt invigorated and refreshed afterwards, similar to the way one's physical body feels after you've exercised. I've been reading a book called Granny Brandt that your mom loaned me. This woman went to India to do mission work when she was about 30, and except for a few furloughs, stayed over there and worked, especially among very poor people who lived way up in the mountains, practically in isolation, till she was 92. She rode her little donkey up and down the hills between the little villages, almost up to her death. It's an amazing story of a woman whose compelling force in her life was the love for lost souls. And I know my grandma also had that same love for lost souls. And one final note that she wrote me one time, it was actually a PS. She said, in my reading yesterday, I found an account of some of the commanders of Jehoshaphat's army. One of them, Amasiah, the son of Zichri, was called a volunteer for the service of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 17:16. I thought that that might make a good verse for the soldier class. What do you think? And as many of you may know, she had princess classes for young girls and soldier classes for young boys, which I know both of my brothers and I went through, where she would encourage us with scriptures and have us memorize Bible verses. It's another beautiful day, she said, and again, that the Lord has blessed us with. You're in my prayers. Love, Grandma. When I think of a master encourager and someone who loved life, I think about Grandma.
I'm sure, like many of us here, you feel blessed to be able to be here. I drove down yesterday from Pocatello, Idaho, to visit. The church in Pocatello is about 60 members, and something valuable that I've actually been thinking about, not just since Anna Lane's passing, but for the last several years, is something that I learned in soldier class. I was lucky enough to get to attend or be a student of Anna Lane in a soldier class. Although I'm pretty sure at the time I didn't realize it. I was young enough. I don't remember quite what age I was, but I remember I was at least old enough to know I should be in the soldier class with Anna Lane and be respectful. But I was also didn't really appreciate it, I think, especially when she would be teaching me songs like Onward Christian Soldiers. And it was just me and Anna Lane trying to sing that. We had, it was a valuable class, though, and I remember the memory verses that she taught. But one thing I remember that was very valuable, and then I continue to teach in the classes that at our church in Pocatello, is the importance of, when you're studying with somebody, teaching them what the Bible says rather than what you know the answer to be. Many times people will ask you a question when you're studying with them, and it's really easy just to spout the answer off. But Anna Lane in the soldier class, every time I asked her a question, she'd open up the scriptures and show me the answer from the scriptures. And that was something very valuable to me that I have taken on and been able to continue to teach others. And I thought that was something valuable for all of us to remember, that when we're studying with people, show them from the scriptures what the answer is.
I've been struck on several occasions that when you think back over the periods even of your own life, there are sometimes small memories that represent large portions of life, and maybe even an event that happened many, many times is represented in memory by one very specific moment. And a few moments spring back into my mind and are the echoes to me of a sweet life. And I remember being just a little boy playing doctor kit with my grandmother, and I got to be the doctor and performed a very complete evaluation, and my careful diagnosis at the end was green boogers. And she must have gotten a kick out of that, because it was a story she told back several times to me. I was working puzzles the other day with my own son, Isaac, and I remembered back to one very specific day here in Lubbock at our old house on 37th Street working puzzles with grandmother. And I think I like to do it kind of the way Isaac would really like to do it, which is just stack the puzzles up and work through them one at a time, or preferably dump them all out at once. Of course, I remember the soldier classes you've heard a few times that she took us through. And if you still don't know exactly what that is, it was a rigorous combination of memory verses and push-ups. for our cousins, which were girls then, ladies, women now, they had the princess class. I think it was the same, but no push-ups. And I remember the summer that I got to spend with Grandma and Granddad in Vienna. It was a sweet time for us when I was, I guess, at the edge of junior high and high school. And, you know, just little memories again from that period come back. I remember the long walks we'd take in the evening out in the setting sun there in Vienna. And I remember enjoying making our breakfast. We had a muesli grain cereal, and we would very elaborately cut up our apples into little pieces to put into our cereal. Those sweet times together. Because of these memories, and because of the life that they represent, and some of them very personal memories and personal moments, and some of them very common ways, and each have their own memories that resonate with them, we do each stand up and honor her and remember her and say that we loved her. And we do rise up and call her blessed, because she was our grandmother, and because we knew that she loved us, and because we always knew without any doubt that she was sweet and gentle and decent and good to every last small number of pounds of her body. And because of her family, and her family with grandfather, comes our family, in a very literal way, of course, but also a richness that our family has that it could not have without the existence of their family and the way that their family was. And these are the things that we do honor her for in this day of remembrance.
I'm Gene Hines. Elaine's favorite brother. I should give you a little more detail on her birth. I wasn't there, but I was about a year and a half later. But she came in a storm, a blizzard, a snowstorm on eastern Colorado. And a snowstorm there is different than anywhere else. I guess when she was about to be born, my dad got on his horse. I don't know where the horse came from. Got on his horse and rode to get the doctor. And I don't know where he came from, but he brought the doctor back. And everything took place. This was a homestead. He applied for this homestead. In those days, Calvin Coolidge was, I think, the signature on most of the homesteads. But you could get a certain number of acres of land for nothing if you just agreed to prove up on it and bring it up to the farm, put a well on it, and so on. And he did that, even though he was a teacher, principal, superintendent of schools. He brought the doctor back, and this home that they had there, it was sort of a one-room home. I remember seeing it later. The inside walls, just lumber, but they were papered with newspapers, and I thought that was really neat, you know, as a kid, because you could see the funnies ever so often on the walls. But anyhow, point is, Helen Elaine Walker Hines came into this world in a storm, a real storm. But she has left this world, has gone out in a peace because of Jesus, in a peace that passes understanding. It's really amazing. In her life, she was, of course, older and smarter. And I sort of looked up to her. It was more of a combatant relationship. I remember she was always prepared. Or I wasn't, but when she was to get a whipping, a switching, mother would give her time to go put on an extra pair of long stockings. And I guess that helped. But and then her daughters and grandchildren were brought up in the same principles of correction, and that's helped. Myself, I can honestly say I had more whippings than any kid in the country. I'd like to compare that with anyone here. But Elaine was a believer, and because our parents were believers. And she's been a model, and I haven't been ashamed of her ever. But every brother should have a sister like Elaine. Appreciate Richard and really because he took her off our hands. Thanks for you all being here and participating in this time of remembrance. Thank you.
My name is Paul Hines. I'm another one of Jean's sons. And so Elaine Walker was my aunt, Aunt Elaine. When I was a kid growing up and we would occasionally have the blessing of getting together with our Walker cousins, Cheryl and Gary and Archie and Winnie and Harold. We would compare notes, and it was very obvious from their stories that their parents were from the same discipline-minded grandparents that our parents, our dad, was from. And it was just last night, Uncle Richard, that Gary confided in us, a couple of us, that actually Sometimes he feared his mother's punishment more than his dad's. It must have been some of the fury of the storm that she was born in. But as a tribute to Aunt Elaine and Uncle Richard, my wife Julie and I thought that we would like to share with you how Aunt Elaine actually and literally helped us raise our six daughters. Toward the end of the obituary reading, you may have caught that Archie mentioned that in her lifetime, his mother, my aunt, mentored many, probably hundreds of young women. And one of those was my wife. I'll share a story with you that Julie experienced. But before that, like to share how Aunt Elaine helped us raise our six daughters. We never lived close to her, except for one period of time. Uncle Richard and Aunt Elaine lived in Klamath Falls, Oregon, which is about 4 and a half hours drive from where we live. And we got to go visit them once. That was special. But Aunt Elaine's princess material was first evolving back about the time that the oldest of our daughters were in preschool and early primary classes. They're now in their approaching mid-30s. And our daughters thought that, particularly our older daughters, Susan and Evelyn and Karen, thought that the coloring pages from the princess class material that they would get in the mail, they thought that Aunt Elaine prepared those specifically for them. And I'm not sure it was the right thing to do, but we let them have that that fantasy for a little while. All of our daughters were actually influenced very strongly by the qualities of the princess class. I'll add one element to the descriptions John and Joel mentioned. The Prince's Course is based on the story of Esther, Queen Esther. But Elaine really served Julie and me and our daughters by providing that tool which helped us impress on our kids a favorite verse in the Bible from Proverbs, which says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flow all of the issues of life." And if you have a daughter, you can empathize, you understand how much you want them to guard their heart. Well, I had six of them. And to this day, the unmarried ones, I'm praying they will continue to guard their heart. Some of our daughters also benefited from the bride's class. And just about 2 weeks ago, and I don't know that Aunt Elaine was able to, I haven't heard if she was able to see this or enjoy it, but about 2 weeks ago, our oldest daughter, who lives in East Africa, emailed a picture that she took of her son, my 8-year-old grandson, with his sword and his soldier book material, and his friend who's on the mission team with him over there. It was the completion picture for the end of their soldier class. So Aunt Elaine is blessing and helping Julie and I raise our grandchildren. Aunt Elaine was so transparent. You catch that in some of the excerpts from letters that that Ben read earlier. Julie shared with me something the other day that stuck with Julie as a young mother. It stuck with me when I heard it. This was when we had maybe just one or two, Susan and Evelyn, in the late 70s. And Aunt Elaine was up visiting Dad and Mom, and she was describing how oftentimes, especially young parents who haven't done it before, and they're just answers, and sometimes you're really not sure what to do. And if you're a young parent, or if you were, you can relate to that. And so we were needing direction as parents. And Elaine shared with Julie an experience she had when she was a young mother. I believe she said that Winnie, you were just a baby at the time. So there would have been Cheryl, Gary, Archie and Winnie at that point. Harold hadn't come along yet. Four active kids, just like the four active kids growing up in my family at that time. Their dad, Uncle Richard, was traveling quite a bit as a young preacher, missionary. This was in Germany. And one day, Aunt Elaine had just about had it with her kids. And she told Julie, she said, "I don't know where this came from. I didn't know what to do. It wasn't really a spankable moment, but I just grabbed something near me and threw it across the room in front of the kids." And she said, she told Julie, "I'm not sure if that was the right thing to do, but it sure got the kids' attention and things settled down." We appreciate her transparency, the legacy that she left, and Julie and I just feel so blessed, such a heritage. And we wish, I'll speak for myself. I wish I had appreciated it more at the time. Thank you.
I have a few thoughts to share with you. First, my wife, Kathy, has written a note. We were happy when Mom and Dad decided to move to Lubbock in 1989. For the first time in our boys' life, they had grandparents nearby. I appreciate much in Mom, but there are three things that stand out in my memory. As in-laws, living nearby, she was neither intrusive nor demanding, but always there if she was needed. Second, she was deliberate in thinking of things to do or prayers to pray that were especially appropriate for each person. She didn't just glide through life. She thought about individual needs or desires, whether it was gum for a kid at church, or spending special soldier time with one of our sons. Third, she was open to learning new things her whole life and would express appreciation to you for your suggestions. If she used an idea you had mentioned, she would be sure to thank you for it and let you know it had been helpful to her. Even in her last days, she was incredibly patient and appreciative in view of what she was going through. I couldn't have asked for a better mother-in-law. She taught me to see that people are more important than things, and the time spent investing in people is more important than time spent on things. I will miss her. One of her great-granddaughters, Erin, writes, "Elaine told me how to get the honeysuckle nectar. I'm glad she told me that. She made pineapple popsicles for us. She used regular ice trays and pineapple juice. They were so good. I'm very thankful for Elaine. Hannah, great-granddaughter 8, writes, Grandma used to tell me stories in her wheelchair, and she taught us about gluten. She gave me snacks once before she died. I gave her a pretty shiny rock. Another friend, Richard Wright, has been a dear friend of the family. And one of the things that my mother loved is to study the Bible. And so much of this last year, when she was confined to a home setting, she participated in Sunset's Sunday morning Bible study. And that via video cam, which Richard set up, and my father and mother studied together. I assume she continued to learn Spanish. Is that right, Dad? Okay. And Richard was the kindly facilitator of that, and he's such a dear friend to our family. He would have said something personally, but he has health issues. I would have said that Elaine was our center column reference in our Bible studies. When we were looking at the life of Mary, I remember Elaine added a Jewish culture reference that maidens in those days desired the honor of being the mother of the coming Messiah. I thank God for Elaine's life, the life she lived, and thank God now for the family she reared and all the lives she's touched by having lived. I will continue to pray for Isaac. She would want that. With highest regards, Richard Wright. Our mother was really a unique and lovely woman. And when it comes to points in life like this, what we summarize about life, is it not the memories that we will cherish? In just a few moments, even this assembly will enter into that realm of memories. And all of us who are here have memories because she in some way has touched your life. One of the memories that I'm going to cherish regarding my mother is how much she loved things, and I made a list of some of the things she loved. There was no doubt, if you knew my mother, that she loved the Lord. She loved to talk about him. She loved to read about him in her scripture. She loved to tell others about him. She loved to serve our God. There was never a doubt that she loved Dad. She was respectful of him. In 1949, shortly after their marriage, I was about, 8 or 9 months old. She boarded on an old Greek vessel and they headed off to war-torn Germany. And they were in Heidelberg for a while, in Berlin for a while, did work in Austria, in Norway, Greece, and then, of course, some ministries here in the United States. I don't ever remember her having an issue following wherever my father went. She was incredibly submissive. It just seemed sort of natural to me growing up. Don't take that to mean that she was not a woman of strong will, but she respected my father. My father has a special passage that he often refers to. It's from Proverbs 31:10. A good wife who can find, she is more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. This is the part my dad quotes. She does him good and not harm all the days of his life. Shortly after her death, my father said, no one can ever say that I quenched this girl's spirit. She had incredible spirit. She loved her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, her nieces, her nephews. She loved to read about them. One of the few people that ever read those long indie reports I wrote, knew how to converse about them. She talk to them about their interest. And it's that what you see today, some of her children rising up and calling her blessed. She would teach them. If you knew my mother well, you knew that she loved life. It's not that there was a fear of dying. It's just there was an enjoyment and curiosity about life to the very end. Whether it was a birthday of a great-grandchild, whether it was Ben's wedding that's coming up that she didn't want to miss, whether it's Heidi's unborn child, she wanted to know what gender it was. She just didn't want to miss out on life. And if there's one sad moment, it's that she's missing out on this, because she loved being with the people that she loved. I don't know I've ever met someone that could enjoy life and the simple things of life more than my mother. She had a radiant joy about life. She also loved children, not just our children, but all children. And children just intuitively knew that. There are children here today that knew how much my mother loved them. And there are some who are now grown into adulthood who knew how much she loved them. She loved to hug them. She knew their special interests. They always felt special when they were around her. And they knew that she valued them. The prince's story actually has a beginning in time, and as you pass by the casket in a moment, you'll see a crown that's on her head that was special made by her brother Jean in honor of her princess teaching. My father and mother were in Klamath Falls, and my father was preaching there. And it so happened that a little straggly neighbor girl was quite disruptive of the church process. And so, as we men do, we have business meetings, and they had a business meeting. And I think the outcome, if I remember it right, was this little straggly girl really shouldn't come to church anymore. And my mother heard about that, and that, of course, was totally unacceptable. And she respectfully asked if she could have the honor of teaching this little girl. And that became the very first princess class. And in time, that became something very special. Other kids knew about it. At some point, this little straggly girl was mainstreamed with proper behavior into other Bible classes. And then, of course, she also had grandsons, so there had to be a soldier class. So many of these fine young men that are standing here, they knew her as General Grandma. And make no mistake, she knew well her rank and her position. And she was a princess and a queen to all the little girls that she taught. It would be hard to think about my mother without thinking about that she knew how to put important things first. She was really not much of a Martha. She didn't have a whole lot of interest in a lot of those kind of things. She, of course, was a frail stature much of her life. As a boy, I remember a lot of time that she spent in her bed trying to winter some of those cold winters in Germany and the toll that some of that situation took on her health. But we would sit on her bed at night and she would talk to us. My dad would be off in Bible studies, and she always had time for people. She was never rushed when it came to people. And she was always teaching, and she was a teacher deluxe. And she always had treasures that she would share with you. It might be a little bag of vitamins. It might be a clipping. It might be a quote, as someone mentioned, from a former president. She had an incredible curiosity about life. And she has boxes of mementos. You're not going to find in their home materialistic treasures, but you will find great treasures that she savored for a lifetime. She liked to help people, And I often teased her that she practiced several professions without a license. She ran a full-time counseling practice on the side, and she counseled women and mothers in life. The reason she wanted to be so healthy is that she said, if God lets me live, I want to live healthy so that I can be active in His service. She gave a lot of medical advice. She was quite astute in the health industry. In fact, she's someone you can quote in the health business. She would give gifts that she felt that were helpful. She'd give spiritual advice. And when she gave you a gift, it was something that was meaningful to you. If you had a wedding, she didn't give you a toaster. She'd give you a prayer book or a prayer log. She'd give you some advice on vitamins or nutritious cooking or something along that line. My mother also loved to pray. She prayed for people by name. She and my father would sit on a nightly basis. They would record their prayers. And you always felt that when you gave a request to father and mother, that they just sort of had a special in with the Lord. It's amazing how often the Lord would bring those things to pass that they had prayed about. I don't know if you can say this about many people, but she loved attending church. And the highlight, when some of the doctors, hospice doctors, asked her what her goals were, she said to get well enough to come back to church. She was a little put out with these hospice people because she said, "You're not trying to get me well." Of course, you know, that's really not the objective of hospice. But her plans, right to the end, just a few weeks ago, she said to my father, "I don't think people really think I'm going to get well." But it was her intent to come back to church and to participate. She loved sermons. She loved singing. She took notes. She stored them forever. She just had a hard time leaving. Dad would head off to the door many times, and you'd have to go find Mother. She was off visiting with somebody. She loved to come to church. It was like the highlight of her week. It was like a family reunion for her. The other last thing I want to say about my dear mother is that she loved to do God's will, and she made it look pretty easy. I remember asking my mother once, "Mother, do you struggle with sin?" She said, "Oh yes, son, I do." I said, "Would you mind sharing one of those struggles with me?" She said, "Oh yes." She says, "When I was 8 years old," she would tell the story of how she stole a little watch from a nickel and dime store, and her brother Gene must have found it, and that of course alerted mother and father, and you've seen already there's a strong grandfather and grandmother behind Gene and Elaine. And anyway, she took it back, and it was such an embarrassing moment. She didn't want to tell the shopkeeper, so she just slipped it back wherever that little 10-cent watch went. And I said, "Mother, I've heard that story, but I was really thinking of a more recent struggle that you might have had." I'll tell you, she made it easy. If you have heard her complain, I'd like to meet you. There was a joy, a spirit of optimism about life, and we're not exaggerating what we say about her. Just beautiful. I really believe that the secret of the blessing that our Walker family has received is in large part due to her kindly spirit and faithful spirit, her deep love for the Lord, and her understanding of what's really important in life. It's been such a blessing to spend this time with our friends and those who loved her and those who knew her. And in just a moment, Kenneth is going to come and lead us in another song or two. And one of these songs is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and "Victory in Jesus," because that's how she lived her life. and then Tom Hines, who is also a nephew, is going to close us in prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus is song 800 in your book. We'll start with that song. Uh, 470, Victory in Jesus, and we just have to stand for this song. First verse and third verse. 470.
Tom Hines. I am Elaine's nephew, and I do have a couple of comments, but it'll be short. There's a lot of babies in here, and big ones and little ones, and she would have recognized that we only have limited attention and patience. My Aunt Elaine fulfilled, my Aunt Elaine fulfilled many roles all around the world. And she was known by many names in this. I was trying to think of what they must have been. Helen, Elaine, Miss Hines, sister, friend, darling, wife, Mrs. Walker, Frau Walker, mommy, teacher, aunt, mother-in-law, grandmother, great-grandmother, princess, queen, and probably many other affectionate, wonderful names that I don't know, can't think of, or wasn't there for. I wasn't in those soldier classes. I was too old. I never got my marching orders. She was fighting in foreign lands, waging prayer. But in all of her roles, she excelled, and she was excellent in every one, I'm sure. And I think this is partially, I think she was cognizant of her role as an example to others. But I think more importantly, she wasn't, I don't think she was did it because of that, to be an example. I think she did it because she knew she was a child of God. And a child that was obedient in all. And she knew that we were too. And she lived in her body, but she wasn't of it. She understood that we're all spirits. And we live in a spiritual realm. Let's pray. Dear God, we know that Aunt Elaine is now at rest with you, and that gives us great joy. And we pray that we never forget her perspective, her approach on a spiritual life, and a life that is and will be lived forever. And we pray that at the end of our earthly lives, we will have the same peace that Elaine has now. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.